I don't know if all of you, like myself, growing up as a kid, I was always afraid of the dark, so to speak. In fact, sometimes I would get up out of bed at night in the dark and look under my bed to see if there's anything under there. You know, it's just human mind work. But we were always taught, even by our earthly parents, don't be afraid of the dark. I think most of our parents told us that as young children. When night falls, we humans always think that maybe, well, we're alone. Because night makes us vulnerable, makes us isolated, and sometimes even plagued by nightmares. And yet, the truth is that most human beings are far more fearful, hear this church, of the light rather than the dark. That don't make sense, preacher. Well, bear with me. You see, the light, that utterly visible and revealing place in which we cannot hide, but stands entirely exposed and unveiled. It makes us both warm and wobbly, and we stand too fully in the brightness of light. We allow ourselves to be seen in all of our flaws. We feel ourselves laid bare, so to speak, unprotected and feeling an unease that begins to settle upon us. If you stand fully in the light, perhaps in the bathing in the light for a moment, it would be glorious to stand revealed to God and others within it for any period of time. Not so much. I think most of us would rather not be in the light all of the time. I think we would rather limit the light, at least enough for us to live the image that we would like to project to God and to others. The world around us. Human beings prefer to live in a world of half light, shadow. Sometimes we call it the gray area. We want to see the light, but we don't want to remain fully exposed to the light. We want to protect ourselves into the light, little by little, bit by bit, until we feel safe to be fully exposed to the light. The human mind depends largely on images. God created us in such a way that we have a wonderful thing called the human mind. It's a built-in camcorder, so to speak. We can create images, as we can see ourselves, and we can see the world, and we can project images of ourselves to those around us. You see, the greater the light, the more authentic is the image. And the more that we're willing to be vulnerable. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Being vulnerable. Well, the more we step into that light and allow others to see us in a more authentic way, sometimes we feel afraid. We tend to hide in the shadows, retreat to a more protective womb, an umbra, which is where the word umbrella comes from, under that umbra. You see, in this way, we practice all the art of imaging. Now, imaging is a way that makes sense of our world and ourselves and our relationship to the world and others, and God too, because it is a relationship that we have with God. It's a way that we comprehend who we are in this relationship. Our humans are incessant, essence, instinctive, natural photographers. There's a human photographer back there. He knows about photography. And it's imaging. It's creating an image for our eyes to relish and to know. And through photography, we learn to see in ways that can give us new insights into the world, into each other, and even into ourselves. Think of some of the expressions captured by photographs from the past in your life. Maybe some sadness, some joy, or ecstasy, or other things. But then think of the beauty of the moon captured in its glory, or that one heart-shaped leaf remaining on a branch of a dead tree. This past winter, whatever, we had 3-4 frosts in a row. We got a lot of dead trees around us. And I walked up to one the other day. It happened to be the lemon tree, and there's only one leaf on that lemon tree. I didn't focus on all the dead branches. I focused on that one leaf, thinking, oh, that thing's going to come back. Photography is that way. It can hone in on one minute detail and pull us back to see the vast big picture. It can also blur an ever-intensifying image using light. Photographs, paint with light. Where did you think this photograph thing would be without the flash bulb? Light. The light on photographs like that help us to pay attention to things that we might be missing. Professional photographer, I know Phil don't consider himself a professional photographer, but I do. Being professional only means you get paid for it. He does it out of love. But he loves taking pictures. He loves taking pictures in nature. He values special time sometimes in the day. We were down at Panama Beach a couple weeks ago to visit my sister. It's turning into be a big event. Her friend invited us to dinner at a club where we could sit on the beach and see the sunset, and it's beautiful. Early dusk, when the sun is beginning to set, that light turns everything into a beautiful glow. Colors blend together, imperfections fade away, and the world looks especially beautiful. We love the vision of the golden hour that it creates. But when you want to create a romantic evening, Travis, what do? I'm sure you lower the lights, you put on some music, you light candles, and you dine or eat together with this muted glow, maybe even a fireplace, or put the dimmers down. This golden ambiance in which you feel asserted and protected from the harshest of the full light. Protected and reassured by the dark. Now, I think any one of us who has ever stood in front of a mirror in a bright noonday knows the shock of seeing every line and imperfection in your face, every flaw in your skin, every gray hair that glints the sun. We would rather see ourselves in that golden light, the half dark, the half shadows, the half light, if you would. Which we can pretend for just a little while that we are the vision that we wish to be, instead of the truth that we're not. I always find it interesting now, some of these things that they use to take photographs, TikTok or whatever, and they get this ring with a light on it. You know, the light brings out all the things, both good and bad. But the truth is, we need the dark. The dark is our hiding place. The shade, the half light, the dusk, the night. We are the dragon and we are the golden, and yet we are human and we are beautiful. Never forget that. You are beautiful. You are created in the image of God. God created light and dark, shadows and shades, images, eyes, different colored eyes. God created us in a way that allows us the art of perception and imaging. God created us as human artists. And the art of humanness then depends upon the way that we vision and envision. God encourages us towards authenticity, to move and to moor into the light. And yet God provides us shadows to shelter us when we feel afraid. God does not force us, but assures us as he guides us towards the light of Christ who takes away the sins of the world. You see, light is revelatory in ways that sometimes shows us the thing that we may be missing about God, missing about ourselves, and more importantly, about the world that we live in. It's a beautiful world. Jesus said we are in the world, not of the world, so we have to deal with this worldly stuff. And the world can be beautiful, and yet God provides us a place to shelter when the light feels like it's just too much to bear. Ever been there? When the light is just too much to bear. Think about that little story of Jonah. Remember Jonah and the whale? Jonah was unsure. God wanted him to go to Nineveh to preach to those heathens. And Jonah argued with God. No, those people will never repent. I'm not going. Well, he was unsure. He was angry. He was grieving. He was unsure what God was doing for him and with him. So what did God do? He provided a dark womb of a whale. And you remember the story, a shade tree. Yet God also allowed the heat of the day to wake him and his thoughts of dreaming and daydreaming and contemplating turned to hiding and then brooding. And think about old Noah. When the flood covered the earth, God provided Noah with a womb of an ark. But he encouraged him back to the land and to the light when the storm lifted. The Apostle Paul was confronted with the truth and the light of Christ. And he was so taken off guard that it blinded him for a while in order to sort through what he had experienced. After a time, his vision slowly was restored. And yet his image of others had been altered during this time in the dark, sort of like a womb-like muddle of his thoughts. And much like others, Jesus healed Paul. And Paul saw when he was ready and able to see that he experienced the love of God, the same that we do. God is a God of patience and an artist of light and shadow. We need both light and dark. We understand God in our world within the shades of meaning and gradual revelation of the truth. So the scripture text that I read just a little while ago, Jesus' disciples are stunned by a vision of Jesus being bathed fully in light, radiant light. And in that moment, they were confused and afraid. Their first impulse was to build a sukkah, or a little shelter, or monuments of those, for the light to dwell in, so that it wouldn't overtake them. But God's light is too big to be captured or to be controlled. It's an all-encompassing light, the light that envelops and fills us with Jesus and God's own emanating brilliance. That's why Jesus said that we are filled with his light, and to shine that light, don't put your light under a bushel basket. Share that light with others. So, disciples, we're disciples, we're modern day disciples, and when we're faced with this brilliant, pure, and encompassing light, sometimes we're just struck for words. It's too hard for us to make sense of it. While they can understand the human light that inhibits Jesus and protects, this light is too blinding for the disciples to understand in its purity and starkness sometimes. I don't understand all of it at times, but I believe it all. I think it's no wonder that this vision was so brief for the disciples, because the human mind was not created to experience our lifetime in a way that is unfathomable brightness and revelation. And when it happens, we are overcome. God knows this. Hence the words, "Do not be afraid." Now, this phrase seems to put away our fears. If you will look in the Bible, I didn't count it, but somebody smarter than I did, and they say there's 365 times in the stories of the scriptures that one most important phrase is there. Do not be afraid. Why? God knows that we are faced with ultimate light, We are faced with revelation. We are faced with ultimate truth. Even when the truth hurts, it's hard for us to handle. I've always said the only time the truth hurts is when we're not in harmony with the truth. Think about that. It's so true. For a brief moment, we can experience life shifting and shunning, revealing flashes of insight. But we then must take the time to process what we have seen, to distill the images, to make sense of the pictures and create a story for ourselves and what it means for us in our lives. Photography is wonderful. Digital photography is incredible. Instant. We can take a picture. Tina had her modern-day Polaroid camera at the love luncheon, and she took pictures, and when that thing came out of the end of that camera, it was like blank, and then the light shined upon it, and sure enough, the images started to appear. Think about the times in your life when you've experienced truth and life-changing revelations. I experience one every time I go to the webpage and look at the pictures that Phil puts on there about the people and the services and the different things. And I like looking at them, except one, where he sits. He takes a picture of me at the back door, giving the benediction. Do you ever look at yourself sideways? It's scary. I keep saying to myself every week when I look at that picture, not because he does it a lot, I gotta do something. I don't like that image. I can close my eyes and pretend it's not there and not look at it, but it's there. That's one of the truths and the revelation of life-changing experience that we have. But I do think that most of our realizations, changes in the way that we think, that alters things in our lives from making different decisions and to be very cautious from the shadow into the light. I like to think that God's way of giving us those beautiful sunsets or reason. It's to nudge us and to urge us towards the light, because we know when the sun disappears over the horizon and dark comes, we know in 12 hours or so the light is going to be coming back up. We find ways of making it inviting and appealing and safe, and more importantly, light and dark are beautiful. God reveals truths about ourselves and God to us and urges us to stand at least for some time each day in the light. And we come to know that sunshine is good for us because it gives us vitamin D. So we need to be in the light. After 4 or 5 days of storms and rainy and different things like that, we get depressed and we say, Lord, send some light. Where's the sun? The move for us to dwell in the light, it will be the more that we feel the beauty and the authenticity revealed in our humanness. I think sometimes we forget God was fully human in Jesus and he was fully God. He experienced everything that we experience, up to and including death. That's what makes him the perfect intercessor, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, and he sits at the right hand of God. I know, Daddy. I know about them people. I was one like, remember you sent me there to be like them? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. But let the light of Christ shine everywhere. And the more that we project that beauty of the light of Christ to a world that we live in and into others, the better it will be. Revival, renewal, whatever you want to call it, it's got to start one person at a time. It just doesn't have no magic wand that comes over whenever, because we're all at a different stage and a point of our relationship with God in our life. But don't be afraid of the Spirit of the living God. He's in the world. ministry and things are going to happen, things are going to take place. But if you read the last couple of chapters of the book of Revelation, you know that we win. The devil is not going to destroy this world. It's a world that God created for his people, made in his image. He didn't make it for the devil. But he likes to steal things. He likes to twist things. He likes to turn things around. But when you shine the light of Christ on it, all the impurities of the devil go away. And only the truth of the living God will be revealed. We don't need to come face to face with God. Moses, his face turned brilliant bright in the presence of God. I don't know if any of them, except maybe one in the Old Testament, I don't remember, that was able to stand in the face of God. Because the brilliance was so. But when we come in a spiritual sense face to face with God in a way that the disciples did in Jesus' transfiguration up on that mountain, in order to know God is there and to understand all of his glory, all we need to do is to practice coming into the light little by little by little in prayer and in meditation. Not yoga meditation. Meditation is an important part of our Christian faith. Meditation is good. To meditate on the Word. Confession in nature with ourselves and with others. Revealing ourselves and exposing ourselves. Trusting to change our image of ourselves and the image of others. God in the world, one shade at a time.